Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And the question is, what is the finished work of Christ? Was it what he just did on the cross? Let's see from the Gospel of John what Jesus actually said. And then we will look and see that it's far more expansive than what they're told in fake Protestantville, that because Christ said it is finished, don't have to keep any commandments. You can just live the way you want to as long as you feel good in your heart. Well, that is a blatant lie, but so desirous to people because people don't like to be told what to do.
I don't know if I'm the first, but I am right now the only out LGBTQ or lesbian pastor. Having those little crushes, but they were always on girls. And, so again, I had these two sides of myself that just did not seem to be able to come together. I would constantly pray for God to take these feelings away from me. I could not understand how God could not free me from what I clearly thought was sin. I just said, I'm coming out, and I don't know what this is going to lead me to. I was certain at the moment that that would be the end of my relationship with God. The message that I'd always want people to come away from here is that each person who walks through these doors knows that they are a beloved child of God, and nothing can separate them from that.
So let's examine it and see that it's far greater what Christ has done and is going to do. Now, just before he was arrested, Jesus was praying to the Father. John 17 and verse 1. Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your own Son so that your Son may also glorify you. Now, isn't that very interesting? It comes down to the hour. Amazing. And the day of the crucifixion was a mighty busy day spiritually between Christ and God the Father and Satan the devil and the demons. And the religious leaders, and the apostles. Now let's come to verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. What was the work that he had finished? The work that he had finished was his 3.5-year ministry and calling the apostles, teaching the word of God, having them compile his sayings, and later develop it into what we have in the New Testament. Now let's come to John 19 and verse 30. Let's see what he said. Now this ends the whole day of the crucifixion. The prayer started it, because right after that prayer, Jesus was arrested and carried off for his fake trial. Now here are his last words while dying on the cross. And you need to know something. The prophecy of the Old Testament says that his visage was marred, that is, beaten and tattered and torn apart through the scourging that he went through, more than any other man. Now, that's quite a thing. And also Jesus said that he had authority to lay down his life and authority to receive it back. Now let's see the final words, John 19 and verse 30, that Jesus spoke. And so when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Now, wait a minute. I thought he said he finished it back in John 17. But that was only the preaching and teaching and doing everything like that. This finished has to do with the crucifixion, that he gave his life as the only begotten Son of God the Father. That was finished. He died. Now, this is the sacrifice which provides forgiveness of sin for us who come to Christ and repent and are baptized. But is that all that there is? Let's examine something else. Was not Christ raised from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the grave? Now, what you need to do, you need to get this book that we have, A Harmony of the Gospel, The Life of Jesus Christ in Modern English, so that you can understand everything about the Gospels and how it came to pass that it was all right on time, right on schedule, just like the very hour that came. When he was begotten, when he was born, when he was baptized, when he was crucified, when he was resurrected, and it wasn't on Sunday. He ascended on Sunday, but was resurrected at the end of the Sabbath after being in the grave 3 days and three nights. Little test, if you believe in a Sunday resurrection. Can you get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning? Try it sometime. It won't work. Let's look at another one. Let's come clear to the book of Revelation chapter 16. And this is talking about the battle of Armageddon, the very last battle that is going to be fought, and what Christ does and what happens, because that ends the rule of man and the rule of Satan the devil. So there's a lot of work that has been going on from the time that Christ died, when he said just before he died, "It is finished." But that was only that part of the work of the crucifixion and the shedding of his blood. Now notice what it says here. After the seventh last plague is poured out, and that's the seventh one, verse 17, Revelation 16. "Then the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is finished.'" So think about all that has been done and had to be done from the time of the resurrection of Christ to this point. And this all has to do with preaching the gospel. Now let's look at one more, Revelation 21. Now Revelation 21 comes after the thousand-year period of the gospel being the kingdom of God and the gospel being preached on earth, and after the second resurrection, when all of those who had not had an opportunity for salvation are given an opportunity for salvation. So then, billions and billions of people will be saved at that time. Now, Revelation 21 and verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then he saw the holy city coming down from God." Then it says in verse 3, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Now that's men and women made perfect through the resurrection and the transformation from flesh to spirit. and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and shall be their God. Now notice what else it says. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall not be any more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things have passed away. Now, this is the whole ultimate goal of true Christianity, that people can come to God, they can repent, they can be baptized, they can receive the Holy Spirit of God, they can live their lives the way that God wants, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, and they can grow and develop to have the character of God and have their human nature transformed at the resurrection. Notice what he says here, and always remember this. Whenever there is an ending, there is always a new beginning. Verse 5, and he who sits on the throne, that's God the Father, said, behold, I make all things new. Then he said to me, write. Now let's stop here and think about this for a minute. God has his word written down. So you know, what does God desire of you? What does God desire of every human being? How can you overcome your own sins? How can you be reconciled to God? How can you receive the Spirit of God? Why we have the Old Testament, why that is important, and why the laws and commandments of God are there as well as in the New Testament, written down. If you want a short, brief summary of the Bible, it is this. It is the spoken word of God written down so you will know what God has said. Because unless you know what God has said, not just parts of it, not just some of it, but all of it. If you don't have that, how are you going to know what to do? You won't. So let's read here. Right. For these words are true and faithful. And every word of God is true, and every word of God is faithful, and no one can shortcut it, and no one can change it. If they do change it, that's against God. And what they have changed to will collapse in ignominy. Then verse 6, and he said to me, it is done, or it is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Look at that. That's why you need the whole Bible. Now you need the Bible that we have produced that eliminates all of the false things that translators have tried to add to it, or have added to it, or taken away from it. That's why this Holy Bible in the original order is what you need so that you can understand, because men and Satan like to come along and change what God has done. And are you willing to settle for that? Verse 6, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end. The one who thirsts, I will give freely of the fountain of the water of life. The one who overcomes. Now think of that. We have to overcome the world. We have to overcome Satan. We have to overcome self. And that is all done through Christ and through God the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, shall inherit all things. Now what does that mean? That means everything out there in the universe. You will have a part of, but you can only receive it God's way. No man is going to come to God and tell him what he's going to do, that God must give him eternal life because the man thinks that he's so good. And if you don't believe that, read the book of Job. And you need to understand, though Job was blameless in the letter of the law, he was rebellious against God because he thought he was as good as God and his righteousness as good as God. See? Because it all comes by grace. Now, let's ask the question, who was Jesus? Because a lot of people think, well, he was just born of the Virgin Mary. We'll talk about that in a minute, see how that was accomplished. Who was Jesus? Let's get it. The words from Jesus himself. Now, let's come back to John 17. And let's see what Jesus said, who he was. Verse 5, and now, Father, he's continuing in this prayer. Glorify me with your own self. Now notice this, with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Now I want you to think on that. Now let's add some other scriptures to it so we get a full measure of what and who Jesus was and is, and what he is doing, and that his work is not finished until the things are completed in Revelation 21, then there's a new spiritual beginning there out into all eternity forever. All right, let's come to John, the first chapter. Very interesting how these things come about, isn't it? See, this is why we have the Word of God. And this is why we are to study it, so we can learn. What do we need to do? How do we do it? You need our book. Lord, what should I do? And you need that, because there's so many false teachings out there in the world. It is an absolute tsunami and flood of lies perpetrated by Satan the devil. And as you know, he always begins in the churches.
There she is, a physical image in every church and a prayerful presence throughout the church, the model of Christian discipleship, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And throughout our tradition, we have numerous titles and images and designations that have been given to her. But on this January 1st in our nation, we remember one particular image, one particular designation, and that is Mary simply as Mother. Mother of Jesus and our own spiritual mother, as she represents all Christians throughout the world in her faithful discipleship of Christ, a fidelity that we all strive to imitate with the grace of God. She is our mother, mother of the church, as she is image and model of the church. And we resolve as her followers to grow ever more closer to the perfection of discipleship that she represents as mother of the church and model and prototype of Christian discipleship, our mother, the Holy Virgin Mary.
Now, John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. That is another name for Christ. The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now tie that together with what we just read in John 17 and verse 5, that Christ was God before he became a human being. I just let that sink in. Now notice, verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. Now didn't we just read that if we enter into the kingdom of God and into the holy city, into New Jerusalem, that we will inherit all things? Yes, but who made them? the one who became Jesus Christ. Now notice this. And not even one thing that was created came into being without him. Now we've got a new booklet coming out. Honest Science Destroys Darwin's Evolution. And you need to read that. If you're sitting on the fence, well, maybe there was some evolution. Some people even say, well, God used evolution to create. It's an utter fable and lie. See? And this is why we have church at home, because you're not going to hear these things if you go to a Sunday-keeping church. And Sunday is the wrong day, as you know. You've heard me say how many times? The Sabbath. And if you watch church at home, have you taken the Sabbath challenge? Have you tried to keep it? Have you tried to study the Word of God? Have you written in or emailed in or requested any of the literature that we have or any of the books that we have to help you? That's why we have them at no cost. Verse 4, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. No human being came into this world without it coming from the creation of Christ, though it comes through procreation through your father and your mother, and all of the alphabet perverts better understand that. Let's come down here to verse 14. This is important, and we will see how was this done? Because this was part of the work of Christ. This was part of the work that he said in the first part of John 17, I have finished the work you've given me to do. And how does God come down here to the earth and become a human being? Well, that's what we'll answer next. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, that is like all human beings, and tabernacled among us. That means temporarily dwelt among us. And we ourselves beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And when they saw that glory, Jesus took them up to a high mountain apart, Peter, James, and John, and in a vision of transfiguration, was transfigured before them. And they saw what it was like to be a spirit being. Now, I want to ask you a question. How was it that Jesus became a human being? What is the most humiliating thing that you have suffered through, or maybe been asked to do, or that you volunteered to do? What is it? I want you to think on it. Now then, let's think on what Jesus did, as described here in Philippians, the second chapter. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the whole purpose of true Christianity. It is the changing and conversion and transformation of our human minds through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's why he made us. And in Psalm 8 it says that we are made a little lower than God. And that begins to answer the question, how did Jesus become a human being? Because that's necessary to understand how he's finishing the work of God. And it expands out greater than just the simplicity of what people are told in their Sunday church, that since Jesus finished his work, that there's nothing for you to do.
If you are working and doing the stuff of Christianity with a sense of need and desire and drive, because you want to prove to God that you're worth keeping, what you're saying is the finished work of Christ isn't finished. And what Jesus did on the cross wasn't quite enough. I need to add to it my Bible study and my church attendance and my good attitudes and my work in order to kind of put the cherry on top of the work just to make sure that I'm good. That will create either a legalistic, proud, self-righteous people who subtly yet fundamentally believe their righteousness is making God proud of them, or it will create a discouraged, overwhelmed, schizophrenic, defeated people who never feel like they're doing enough to make God proud. And I just want to speak the good news of the gospel over you this morning. If you are in Christ by grace through faith, you need to take a deep breath. The work to get you saved is finished. You have been saved, period. No working, no striving, no performing, no earning. The work is done. Now you rest and walk out that reality in response to a finished work being done, not an incomplete work that you need to add to.
We'll keep this in mind, and in the next segment, we will find out exactly how did the one who was called God, the Word, who was God and was with God, which, by the way, shows two gods and not three. How did that happen? Be sure and visit our other website, truthofgod.org. This expands everything that we cover on Church at Home in great and finite detail to understand the Word of God. So be sure and go to our other website, truthofgod.org, and be sure and order the books that we have mentioned in this segment. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone, until next time.